those that love Him. on the wind.
Oh, this morning as best I'm able. All this high praise and worship and so many esteemed people in the Lord contributing, it's kind of a hard act to follow, and I'm not following it, just part of it.
Amen.
I just wanted to speak a little bit about something that's been churning in me all the days that we've been together, and began churning for several days before the meeting arrived. And it began when I began to consider things, how that the Lord had said in the book of Genesis that he had created and set and established and placed certain things into the heavens for lights and for days and times and seasons and so forth, and for signs. And signs, the word sign is to me is an implication that these things are set there to signify something. In other words, he's taking elemental things and trying to teach us about eternal things by signifying them with these things. And just a brief little talk about the natural stars, the stars that we see in the heavens, and what their life cycle is, to lead into a message that the Lord is even still churning in me and preparing in me. But stars, a star is a marvelous thing in which there's a collection of gases that by reason of gravity are pulled together and pulled together and pulled together into one place. And primarily, the most abundant gas is hydrogen, which is the simplest element. It's the simplest element. And as a side thought, you see not many wise, noble, and mighty among you called. It's the simple things, the base things of the world. And this is the simplest element. And these things are drawn together and drawn together and drawn together and drawn together. And a hydrogen atom is basically a proton with an electron around it. A proton has a positive charge. And anything with a positive charge repels anything else with a positive charge naturally. So protons don't want to come, they don't want to meet. It takes a lot of overwhelming pressure and force to cause this to happen. So as the star, the gases, it's not a star yet, but as they compress and compress and compress and compress and compress, and the density goes up and the heat goes up, at some point in the range of hundreds of millions of degrees, which is almost unfathomable to me, hundreds of millions of degrees, these protons are accelerated so fast that they can actually be joined together, fused together, faster than their positive charge wants to push them away. They become, if I could say this, yoked together. And when they're yoked together and fused together, they become helium. But in the process, they give a net abundance of energy. They give off light. We call it a photon, but it's light is created in this marriage. And to take what would be called an ordinary star or a borderline small star, which is our sun, light that is created in the nucleus of the star takes approximately a million years to migrate from the core, from the place it was generated, until it leaves the sun. A million years, moving at the speed at which light moves. And as another side thought, it doesn't say that we are comparable to light in the Lord. It says, ye are light in the Lord. Ye are light in the Lord. So over the course of time, this process is going on, and this fuel this hydrogen is fusing and it's producing light and it's producing great heat and great energy. But every star in the natural cosmos, in the natural universe, has a fate. It has an end. And that fate generally is when the hydrogen is gone, when it's gone, it begins to burn helium. And when the helium's gone, it begins to burn carbon. It begins to generate other things to burn, to do the best that it can to survive, to keep up the pressure that's necessary to keep it from collapsing in on itself. And if it's a large enough star, a phenomenon will happen that we call a nova, or an even bigger star, a supernova. But what takes place is as the star is running out of fuel, It's running out of fuel because, in another side thought, it does not have an inexhaustible supply. So it's beginning to run out of fuel, and it synthesizes heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier elements until it produces iron. When a star produces iron, within a fraction of a second, or sometimes a fraction more than a second, but within that time span, a star which may have shined for billions of years, within a fraction of a second, will have collapsed upon itself, recoiled off the collapse, and exploded and ceased to exist as a star. It will have fallen to elemental things. And in that fall, beginning that began with iron, and the reason it begins with iron is because iron takes more energy in combination than it gives. So when iron begins to be formed, the reaction, the fusion, shuts down. It shuts down. And in the explosion, such temperatures are reached that the heavier elements, all of which you can see in Daniel's image, are formed. Iron, brass, silver, gold, all of these things are formed in the collapse and in the heat of the collapse. And in the book of Daniel, it speaks about Daniel and his fellows, his three fellows. And when the captivity into Babylon took place and they were carried there, it speaks of him and identifies him and his three fellows as children of the king's seed, children possessed of great wisdom, great knowledge, great understanding. Now, they already were children of the king's seed. They already had wisdom, knowledge, understanding. They had these things. And Nebuchadnezzar's purpose was to take them and implement in them the tongue and the understanding and the learning of the Chaldeans. And it's not a coincidence that iron is a kingdom represented. There's a kingdom, a fourth kingdom of this image that's represented by iron. And it's not a coincidence that we have a thing in this country broadcasting its message abroad in a place in Alabama that's called Irondale. It's the Valley of Iron. It's not a coincidence that in the book of Revelation, it speaks of a dragon associated with the color red, which can also be associated with iron. It can be associated with blood, which is red because of iron and oxygen and all of these things. Basically, to condense this down as far as the fate of every natural star in the known universe, exclusive of an inexhaustible supply, its fate is to run out of fuel and to collapse into these things and produce these base elements out of which everything in the natural is built, every natural elemental thing. But Daniel was told later in the last chapter of the book of Daniel of a people who would lead many to righteousness and who would shine as the stars forever, forever. And what I want to attempt to do is to marry that concept with a natural star, and in your mind consider a natural star that has an inexhaustible supply. Inexhaustible supply. See, Daniel was told that you will stand with your lot in the end of days. And he had an experience in which he was put into a den of lions and a stone put over it, and the stone was rolled away and he was taken up alive. And it said the reason he was taken up alive is because he believed his God. He believed the resurrection. And what of all of this message, what all of this is coming down to is that one star who is the bright and the morning star. He is the resurrection. And he is endowed with the power of an eternal life. And he said to him that overcometh, will I give the bright and morning star. We are co-heirs and joint heirs together with him in the power of an eternal life by which we are not destined to collapse into base expressions of things, rudiments and elemental and earthy things. But we are destined to shine as the stars of heaven forever and to make light and to be light in the Lord. And this simple message began to formulate in me, and I just wanted to share it, that everything waited, Daniel waited, to stand with your lot in the end of days meant he had to wait until something happened. He had to wait until the glorified Son of Man came up out of that grave. Everything that concerns us waited upon that. He had to be raised. And we were raised together with Him. And endowed together with Him and in Him with all spiritual blessings, not in earthy things. They don't fall into these base things. In heavenly places. So I'll just kind of sum that up and be quiet. But the whole crux of this thing is that we have been enjoined to the bright and the morning star. The star that has an inexhaustible supply. And will never be made subject to corruption. Will never be made subject to being reduced to base and elemental things out of which men build. But we have together with Him risen back up through all of these things and been reborn the eternal star. And that's His star in the heavens. That's His star in the heavens. And it relates to even the dreams and the visions that Joseph had, which there are a lot of things you could talk about. It goes in many directions. But in essence, he spoke of seeing the stars, the sun, the moon bow to his star. And then in the course of time, he had a similar experience to that which Daniel had, many other in the scriptures have. He was thrown into a pit and left for dead. And then was somehow raised up out of that pit. And even though he was sold into Egypt for a period of years, he did experience in a figure the resurrection. And Joseph, the one who was blessed because he was separated from his brethren, his star is not his star. Joseph's star died in that pit. But when Joseph came up out of that pit, his star was the star of resurrection by faith. And his star is the star that we see holding the seven stars of the lampstands in the book of Revelation. It's the bright and the morning star. The one in whom we have heirship together in all of these wonderful things, the habitation of God by the Spirit. But when it says that we are raised together with Him, so we're not looking, I'm not looking for Him to come. He has come to me.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm looking for Him to be unveiled. I'm looking for Him in all of us to be fully revealed for who and what He is. Just as in the time of Gideon, when Gideon instructed them to take every man a lamp in an earthen pitcher, and according to the proper time, break the pitcher.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
But the bottom line is that we are not doomed to the fate of all the stars of heaven, naturally speaking, which if the Lord allowed time to go on, every star would fail. Every star. Every one of them. Except the star that is the beneficiary of the inexhaustible supply. We will shine as the stars of heaven with this added, forever and ever.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Yeah, that morning star means light carrier. So the light carrier, well, he's either come or he hasn't come to us. And by faith, we believe he has come to us. And that's what Peter expresses. And Peter expresses the day star arising. But what he goes into after that is the predicament that faces us. So that this has to be our hope, this has to be our belief, because of what the turmoil is unfolding before our eyes today. As these things collide and collapse, there's going to be a big noise. And that big noise is all around us, whether, and I'm not talking about a sound, or and we're talking about the noise of what's going on. There's quite a thought in the scripture about noise. And it's not talking about something like you can hear my voice. It's talking about this thing must come to its fulfillment. All things must come to its fulfillment, that day star might rise in our hearts. And that, as John was thinking, I was thinking that God describes Himself as light. So, and He describes Himself as spirit, and His love, and His an all-consuming fire. It's like that's how God's identified Himself to us. That says who He is. And So for me to identify and to realize that which God has brought, that I must think that way. And I can only think that way by the Holy Ghost. And I can only hear from the Holy Ghost as the utterance of the Holy Ghost speaks, like through men like John has just spoke, but God is by the Holy Ghost shown him the definition. And I'm reminded of a scripture that says, talks of wandering stars. And that's what John just saying. We don't want to be among the wandering stars. We want to be known as them that have been apprehended and are possessed by and live in the day star, that star of the morning, the light carrier. Hallelujah.
I'll just add a little small addition to that because of the mention of wandering stars. But a wandering star mentioned in the book of Jude figures in this. Because a wandering star, it's actually the word, it's the Greek word planetos. It means a planet. And a planet is composed of the results of a fallen star. The elemental composition of a falling star, these things coalesce, they form planets. And Jude described a fallen star in the midst and what it might accomplish. But see, when you look into the heavenly panorama, the Lord has written a message in the stars. There's a message written there. But they would see certain stars that were locked in a seasonal message that changed. It was yearly repetitions. Not unlike calendar Christianity, which every year reenacts certain things according to a season and the time and the calendar and all these things, which are symbolic things, but we're interested in eternal things. But he warned of planets, and called them wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. In other words, they give no light. And they juxtapose themselves between the heavenly message and the viewers and call attention to themselves and attempt to be part of the message. But we are part of the fixed message of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. We don't wander about. We don't draw attention to ourselves. We shine as the stars of heaven. So he cautioned about planetos, wandering stars. And this is another thing that we have to, everybody in their experience eventually overcomes, is you have to learn to discount the message of the wandering star, the planetos, from the message. You have to learn to discount it and exclude it. But it all figures in. They're the remnants of a collapsed star.